Morning! Wakey, wakey, rise and shine. Eggs and bakey, come on, come on, get out of bed, sleepyhead. Day's half over, come on. You all right? Hope you are. Hope you are. Did you have a good evening? Me, yeah, it was all right. Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, not too bad, I suppose. Same old, nothing special. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
The disembodied voice of the all-powerful, all-knowing, omniscient, omnipresent producer there. Is he even real? He is real. All right. Little Harry, who's not that little, he's taller than me. He's just smaller than Harry Robinson, who's a giant. It's now 1 minute past 8 in the AM, British summertime, on Tuesday, the 1st of September. Pinch Punch, first of the month. White Rabbits. On the Year of Our Lord, 2026. There you go, you're the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. No, you guys, it isn't a thing. It really, really isn't a thing. Let's get just straight into it, though. That's enough faffing about, isn't it? That's more than enough fannying around for one morning. What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors? Quite frankly, evil Fleet Street editors. What are they banging on about this morning? What are they lying to us about by omission, if nothing else? Globalist slop, they're trying to beam directly into our eyeballs and brain box today. Sloppy Joes are they serving up? Let's have a look. Let's have a little look-see. What we got? Kemi gets Tory's battle ready. Oh. Olu Kemi Olifantu Badenoch, the Nigerian anchor baby, somehow bizarrely finds herself LARPing as the leader of the opposition, thinks that there might be an early election. She needs to get the Tory party, she needs to get her ranks in order. Needs to be battle ready for a general election. I mean, Parliament opens today. It's the first day of Parliament, I believe, today, I think. Obviously, there's nothing in the papers about that this morning because they go to print last night, but I think today's the first day. If so, no Stern and Burnham. Andy Bumham, King of the North, first of his name, with his guy liner and his mascara. He's going to turn up. Say a few words. Is he going to call an early general election? There's rumblings. Oh, hey, there's rumblings. There's rumblings that he might. He has ruled it out, hasn't he, a number of times. But as Kemi, Olu Kemi, and the Tories and others have noted, it was sort of a fairly soft denial on that. It wasn't like a really firm, no, absolutely not, under no circumstances, this is a line in the sand for me. I refuse to. I stake my reputation on the fact that I'm not going to. It's nothing like that, was it? It was like, I think not. It was like that, wasn't it? It's like, I don't think that's what the country wants. It was stuff like that, wasn't it? So, there's wiggle room there, politically speaking, if he wanted to go back on that and just say, oh, actually, I've changed my mind. I think we should have an election. He could, couldn't he? Well, as I say, there's rumblings that it might happen. Kemi thinks it will. She seems to think that is going to happen. All right. That's one of the main stories today. Oh, and her reshuffle. Sorry, the more important thing, I suppose, is the reshuffle. Clever is out. Patel's out. A couple of others are out. The Shadow Chancellor dude. Stride, is it Mel Stride? Don't be confused with Mel Streep. A bit of a reshuffle. And Posh makes some dosh. How is that a story? How is that a story? Posh Spice, Victoria Beckham. She's got a brand, hasn't she? Like a fashion brand. And apparently sales have picked up for whatever reason. And she's actually making a bit of money out of it now. Like the Beckhams need money. But okay, good on her, I suppose. That's not really news, is it? I mean, it's barely news at all. Let alone sort of national news, let alone sort of front page news. I think it is only really on the front of one of the tabloids, but all right. Should we get into it? Let's get into it. At the Daily Mail, pure slop, pure globalist slop, hates us, pretends it doesn't. Gross, cynical, weird. Kemi gets Tories battle ready with ruthless reshuffle. It's ruthless. Shadow Chancellor sacked amid speculation of early election. Olukemi Olufentu Badenoch, the Nigerian anchor baby, has launched a bold overhaul of her top team as the Tories get battle ready for a general election as Andy Burnham returns to Westminster today. Oh yeah, it is today. To face MPs for the first time since he became Prime Minister, the Conservative leader announced a significant shake-up of the Shadow Cabinet. Mrs. Badenoch, it's literally like an eye test. It gets smaller and smaller. Can you see that? That's bigger and bolder. Made the font a bit smaller there, and then it gets even smaller. It's literally like an eye test. Well, I'll just tell you. Cleverly is out. He was already out like a couple of days ago. He said he's not going to run to be an MP again, next general election, regardless of anything. He's out. He's done, he reckons. Wants to run for Mayor of London in 2028. But Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian anchor baby, says she may or may not sort of, you know, formally endorse him for that. She said she'll keep neutral on that. He needs to win the candidacy on his own benefits. Thanks for that. If you're James Cleverly, you would think, oh, thanks. Well, thanks for nothing, really. Really, thanks for nothing. I feel like Cleverly knew he was probably on the way out already. That's what that feels like to me. James Cleverly, the type of person who wouldn't give up on politics, on his own political career, unless he felt he had to. How about that? Bit of tea in the old soup strainer. Yeah. Cleverly was one of the big beasts of the party, wasn't he? Right at the last leadership contest, Tory leadership contest, he was like in the top five or six people, wasn't he? One of the top half dozen big beasts in the Tory party. And now he's decided, I want to run for mayor. That's what I really want to do. Do you? Is that really what you want to do? Or did you just know that you were going to be thrown out of the shadow government, shadow cabinet? And your political career mostly, if not almost entirely, over. Is that not what's going on, James Cleverly? Really should be brought up on charges of treason, James Cleverly. Okay, so he's out. Also, so he jumped before he was pushed, I would have thought. Don't know if that's definitely true, but that's what I would have thought. Put a tenner on that. Preeti Patel, Dame Preeti Patel, who was the shadow foreign secretary. She's out. She's been pushed out, by all accounts. By all accounts. They've made that Tom Tugan hat instead. And she said, real coat. She said, oh no, it's good. That's what I want. I'm just a backbencher now, but that's good. That's what I want. I can do more from the backbenches, if anything. Preeti Patel would also be brought up on charges of treason if it was up to me. It was Braverman and Patel. And Cleverly, but mainly Patel and Braverman, that were Home Secretaries during the height of the Boris wave and our invasion. I mean, argue it. She would certainly be asked some very, very pertinent questions about why she allowed us to be invaded by hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people whose crime rate is through, unvetted, crime rate per capita is through the roof, particularly violent and sex crime and organised crime. Preeti Patel. So she'll be in on the backbench. Badenoch. Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian anchor baby, said something like, what was it? They made up a new thing, like Tory Party International Secretary. What's that? Never heard of that before. Like not an international secretary, like a new thing in the shadow cabinet, just a Tory Party International Secretary. Like, what's that? Is that even a thing? It feels like Badenoch just going, go away. You're a bit too toxic. What you did to the country is a bit too toxic. Go off to the backbenches, please. I mean, Badenoch herself isn't innocent of all those things. You remember when she stood up just a few years ago? Bragging about all the foreign student visas that she personally lobbied for and got. Remember that? When the political winds were a little bit different and she calculated that it was in her political interests to do that and talk like that and be like that. to flood us with more foreign people. Now the political winds have changed a bit. The Overton window, which does exist, has moved a bit. Now it's politically more to her advantage to talk about leaving the ECHR and distancing herself from people like Cleverly and Badenoch and Patel. Don't trust the Tories at all. Never, ever, ever will again. Don't trust Olukemi Badenoch at all. Why would I? She's a foreign person. I don't really want foreign people at the top of my politics, to be perfectly frank. Oh, she was born here. Don't care. An anchor baby. She should be involved in politics in Nigeria, not here. She's Nigerian. Right. Really sad story, but they'll put it front and centre, the Mail, because if it bleeds, it leads, because they're filth, they're scum. Mother died trying to rescue husband trapped in holiday hot tub. Oh, thanks for that, the Mail. Cheers for bringing that piece of horror to us. Well done. The Guardian. Ugh. Ugh, The Guardian. Talking to me? The Guardian, are you talking to me? Well, there's no one else here. They think they're talking to. They think they are, The Guardian. Disgusting, subversive, socialist slop. Revolting. Truly sickening. Palantir billionaire given private Bayeux tapestry viewing. That Peter Thiel dude. He's given a private viewing. Brilliant. Actually, did read a few details about that. It's not quite as straightforward as I'd hoped going to see the Bayeux Tapestry at the British Museum. It's not a normal exhibition in any way, shape or form. In the British Museum, there's a few bits on the ground floor, a few rooms, I mean, on the ground floor where they will do an exhibition, whatever the exhibition is. It's not that, it's something completely different for the Bayeux Tapestry. Some sort of whole special deal. I believe I understand there's something like those building a new like area for it. Specifically for it. And it's not just on display. Just constantly. There's all something about. There's a certain number of light hours they're allowed to show it. Because it's so sort of delicate. It's not a tapestry. Actually, it's not a tapestry. It's an embroidery. It's so sort of delicate now. You know, it's knocking 1,000 years old, to be fair. Not quite. I think probably maybe the 1080s, maybe. Commissioned by Odo of Bayeux. William the Conqueror's brother. Maybe. Maybe. And it's so delicate that you can't just have light shining on it at all times. So. There's a certain number of sort of light hours you're allowed to look at it. So when it's not, when like the museum is closed or whatever, they keep it covered up, literally covered up with like black fabric or something. Okay, so there's a certain finite amount of time. I don't know whether this is all sort of just to hype it up, try and sell more tickets, make the tickets more expensive and stuff. But anyway, that's what they're doing. So there's only a certain number, finite number of tickets that will be available in certain tranches. When the first one went on sale, there was like, according to an account, there was like 80,000 people online, queuing online, to try and get a ticket. And then there's another tranche in like October time. I'll try and get a ticket for that. I'll try. But also, on top of that, there's a few like VIPs are allowed to view it. Like, because George Osborne is like the chair of the British Museum. Did you know that? Weirdo, subversive, freak, traitor, George Osborne is the head of the British Museum. He didn't get the US ambassador job. See how it works when you're on the inside? It's a small club, we're not in it. I want to be the US ambassador. The UK ambassador to the US. No, all right, I'll take, oh, I don't know, head of the British Museum. Done, that's yours. Really? Really? He's also got that podcast with Ed Balls, isn't he? That's weird as well, isn't it? A little aside. You got podcast Ed Balls, Arch Labour, of course, and George Osborne, Arch Tory, kind of. What's George Osborne's relationship with the fifth Baron Rothschild and Jeffrey Epstein, by the way? And Peter Mandelson. Wasn't he friends with all of them? I believe he was, wasn't he? I believe he was friends with all those guys, wasn't he? Didn't he go on holiday with them on yachts and stuff? Did he? Do I remember that? Has that been so memory-holed? Well, don't talk about that. We certainly won't talk about that. The Fleet Street. The cabal of evil Fleet Street editors won't say a peep about that ever. But yeah, podcasts. Ed Balls and George Osborne. Like it's essentially one big club. Some of them wear a red rosette and some of them wear a blue rosette. They're basically the same guys. Like how you got that Rory Stewart and Alistair Campbell. How do they even know each other? How are they friends? How is it? They're just the same cabal of people, aren't they? One wears a red rosette and one wears a blue rosette, but they're the same. Two cheeks of the same arse. As the saying goes. Anyway, George Osborne gets a private viewing. Of course he does, though. That makes some sense. If he's the head of the British Museum, why wouldn't he? Peter Till. He's got no connection to the British Museum. He isn't a patron of them or anything. Doesn't give them money. Has never expressed any interest in the BM. He's an extremely powerful billionaire, so he gets what he wants. The normal rules don't apply to billionaires, do they? All right. Messi's retired. I know you don't like football or sports ball. The vast majority of you, not all of you. Was it last time we asked something like, was it 5 or 7%, 8% of you do care about football, but most of you don't. So I'll just say one of the greatest players, arguably the best player of all time, Lionel Messi, the Argentinian fella. Is retiring from international football. That's all I'll say about it, because it is on the front pages a couple of times. But incidentally, statistically, he's not as good as Matt Latisse, at taking penalties. Statistically, Matt Latisse is better at penalties than Messi. I interviewed Matt Latisse once. That's not on Epoch, sorry, it's just on LotusEaters.com. It's just on the website. Do you want me in conversation for well over an hour and a half, I think it was? Me and Matt Latisse, one of the greatest all-time players, statistically, played for Southampton and England. Do you want me talking to him about late 80s and 90s era football? Talking about some of the greatest goals ever scored in the Premiership by him. Oh, it's there. Surprising how few of views he's got. People in this sphere, right-leaning people in Britain, don't seem to care about football at all. Anyway, that's enough about football. That's enough about football. Right. Public control of utilities is key to growth, says Andy Bumwap. Sorry, Andy Bumham. Sorry, Andy Burnham. PM to Tel Commons, cost of living is holding back economy. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, the cost of living, the inflation is holding back the economy, holding back everyone. Yeah. It's just stating the obvious. Are we being ruled by morons? We are, aren't we? They're morons. And they think we're even more moronic than they are. Public control of utilities is key to growth. Okay. The noises coming out of the Burnham camp are just completely contradictory all the time. At first it was like he wanted to nationalise a couple of things, particularly water. And then it came out just last week, no, we're not going to do that. No, that's not happening. Now it's back on. A number of things, they're flip-flopping all over the place. Like a sea bass that's jumped out of the sea and landed in the boat on the deck, just flipping around. Dead eyes like a doll's eye, just flipping around aimlessly. Okay, they do want to nationalise utilities then, do they? Public control, they called it public control. We won't call it socialism, we'll just call it public control. people don't really like the word socialism or communism, do they? So we'll call it public control. Okay. Sharp rise in number of friendless young people. It just says that, yeah, because of the pandemic and because of, like, doom scrolling, because of social media. And what was it? And a couple other things, a couple other factors. It means that a lot of young people were entirely friendless, like IRL friends. What can I say? It's not good. You do need friends. You do need friends. There's nothing better. Well, there are some things better, but it's really important to go out into the real world and interact with people in the real world. Meet new people. Make new friends. Even if you've got a decent group of friends. Get new ones from time to time as well, if you can. Meet people. Go out. Do stuff. I know it's easier said than done if you've got anxiety or whatever, but... it's the way the world goes round. It's not really what you know, it's who you know. Unfortunately, that is true. Networks of people you know, IRL, are hyper important. Unless you're super rich. Your mummy and daddy are very, very rich. And they'll give you everything you will ever need. And you don't need to ever really get a job or struggle in the world. You're independently wealthy and you'll never need to do a day's work. Unless you're that, you're going to need to struggle in the world to get on and make something of yourself. And you can't do it on your own. You cannot do it on your own. You need a network of people and you need friends. So, all I'll say to young people that are friendless, go out and do stuff more. Maybe you're online loads and you've got online friends. Meet up with them sometimes a little bit. They'll have friends. You'll meet them. You might strike up a friendship with a friend of a friend, and then they become your good friend. Sounds like the status. It's the obvious. Because I'm like an 80s kid, right? I was a kid all through the 80s and a teenager all through the 90s. Before the internet. I mean, there was the internet in the 90s, but no one was permanently on the internet. No one had smartphones constantly on their phone. It just wasn't a thing. So what I'm saying here, it feels to me like just stating the absolute obvious. Like, how could you live any other way? But also, I do live in the 2020s and I get it. I can see why some young people... it's easier, isn't it? Sit at home on your phone. You don't have to go out and see other people in real life. Make real friends. It's easier not to. Well, stop being lazy. It's a little bit lazy. You haven't got any friends. Are you trying to get friends, though? Stop being lazy. Stop blaming it on your ADD. Maybe. Okay, the times. Let's move on from that. The times. The venerable times. Healy, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, says, "I'll prove I'm no hypocrite on defence. Chancellor to set out, quote, clear path on 3% target. 3% of GDP to be spent on defence." Because if you remember, he was the defence secretary, wasn't he, under Queer Stalin. And resigned. It was the final straw that broke the Starmer government, wasn't it? When he finally resigned. Over the fact that the Starmer bot 2.0, with its 17 patches, went back on the pledge to give him, was it like £18 billion? Said, well, we can do you 11 or 12 billion. And Healy was like, no, all right, I resign over this. That was the end of Starmer's government, was it? Well, he's now saying, I'm no hypocrite. Now I am the Chancellor of the Exchequer. And I hold the purse strings. I am going to ensure that we do this. Well, we'll see. Even if it is 3%. Even if they do reach that target. It's not massive, is it? It's not giant. I mean, it's still close to the minimum that you could do, isn't it? It's not going to make our armed forces a behemoth, is it? It's not going to make us scary on the world stage, is it? Kremlin's not going to be quaking in its boots that we're spending 3%, is it? All right. The Notting Hill Carnival, the paper's trying to make out that it's a good and a vibrant and a wonderful thing. Of course it's not. It's just one long crime fest, isn't it? Hundreds of arrests. The thing I saw last night, it was like over 560 arrests so far. Well, that one there, does it say 315? All the numbers change. But hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of arrests. One dead person already. I found a body in the canal. There's a canal near there, isn't there? Found a dead body in there. All right. Loads of sexual assaults. Not necessarily full-blown rapes, but loads and loads of sexual assaults, yeah. Loads of footage of them just acting like freaks, barbarians, out of control, low impulse, low IQ, spastics. Oh, but it's really vibrant at the times. Oh, look at this, though. Look, there's quite a pretty woman with an interesting headdress. That's all you need to know. Don't worry about anything else. It's the carnival. It's good. Is it? Is it not a disgusting hot mess? I would end that carnival. End it. If it was up to me. It's just not happening now. It's just not a thing anymore. What an excuse for the black community of London to go berserk for a few days. No. Shut it down. In both Britain, it just would be ended. Simple as that. Right, Messi's quit football. Anna Wintour. Ugh, what is Anna? Why are you giving me Anna Wintour? Despise Anna Wintour. She's everything, not everything. She's symptomatic of many things that are wrong in our modern culture. Just a complete wrong-un. Anna Wintour Met tribute to Galliano cancelled. Don't care about any of that. Right, SAS chief, army witch hunt puts UK at risk. Special forces recruitment suffering thanks to endless legal action against soldiers. This is what's been rumbling on for a while, isn't it? And I talked about it once or twice before. Lord Hermer and Keir Starmer were at the forefront of that, although it's much, the story is older than them, really. But the SAS, Special Air Service, 22 SAS, the regiment, and other special forces, actually, sort of constantly get, a lot of them get loads of legal action brought against them. They get sent into theatre, they do their job, they get orders to do a job, whatever it is, which may include battlefield killings. They come back and then our lawyers, take them to court for murder and war crimes and whatever. Because that's the sort of culture we live in. Sort of feminised, femboy culture. Are these special forces operators or not? Were they following orders or not? Oh, following orders. I was only following orders. Are you going to let special forces do their job, which it often involves killing people, or not? Are we going to have special forces or not? Or one or the other? Because at the moment, it is ridiculous. We've got special forces, we deploy them and use them, and then they have endless legal action brought against them. Weird. And anyway, the association which represents them, that is very small there, I'd have to do this from memory. The association which represents SAS soldiers is just saying, look, recruitment is massively, massively down. Loads and loads of people that are currently or were currently in the SAS have all left early because they're not interested in going to prison for murder, for doing their job. Being told to go over there, kill some people, come back, you're on trial now. How is that a good deal for them? And ultimately, if we don't really have special forces, that puts the country at risk more. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Badenoch. Okay, this is a bit more of the reshuffle. Ollie came with Badenoch's reshuffle. She sacks Mel Stride, as the Shadow Chancellor. As she puts party on war footing. And the new guy she put in, I can't remember his name, Griffiths? Yeah, Andrew Griffiths. Used to be a Sky News executive. and he was, I'm not sure if he was CEO or he was right at the top of, was it Just Eat or Uber Eats? One of those traitorous companies which employs undocumented illegal migrants. It's one of the main ways they get work. Illegal migrant come over here, steal someone else's bike or e-bike, get a job with Uber Eats or Just Eat and start delivering food to people that are too lazy to even go to McDonald's. Yeah, he was head of that. He's now the Shadow Chancellor. Right, brilliant. Well done. Thanks, Kemi. Thank you. Brilliant. Great move. Trump reviewing US position on Falklands. Don't care. It's all bluster. Trump's all bluster. Yesterday or the day before, he posted an AI video of the US forces blowing up Karg Island. This is getting embarrassing now. Look, are you going to blow up Karg Island or not? Don't post an AI image. When Iran do that, you take the mickey out of them. When Iran do some AI image that they're launched some nuke against Tel Aviv or something, they're blowing up the USS Abraham Lincoln or whatever. And they just do an AI video of it, or a Lego AI image of it, and you take the mickey out of them. Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's worthy of ridicule. Why are you doing it then? Why is the President of the United States reduced to posting an AI image of something he might do? That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing to me. Oh, so now he's reviewing the position on the Falklands. Pipe down, Donald. Pipe down. The Sun. Okay. The Sun. What slop have we got here? Oh, there we go. Look, Posh Spice. She's making some dosh now. Her brand of, like, clothes never really made a fantastic amount of money, apparently. I don't keep check of it, but apparently that was the case. But now it is. Maybe because the Beckhams are in the news a bit more because they got that feud with their son. That ongoing feud that the tabloid press seem to care about. There you go. I won't say any more about that. Don't care about Posh at all. Okay, exclusive crime sweep. Prem's £10 million crypto cash frozen. Say that 10 times fast. Again, the cadence of it. Sponsor probed over illicit gambling. This is barely a story. The Sun, do better, be better. This is barely a story. And it's so convoluted as well. Britain's FBI, we haven't got an FBI, stop saying that. Like the National Crime Agency or something. Vague, very vague parallels with the FBI. Okay, the Sun love calling it Britain's FBI for some reason. Has frozen £10 million in the Premier League's bank account while it probes suspicions of criminality involving a crypto something or other. There's some sort of, I mean, it's just a nonsense story. There may or may not be £10 million worth of slightly dodgy crypto tangentially connected with the Premier League. It's not national news. It's not front page news. That and Posh Spice's company has ticked up a little bit. The senior editors at The Sun. What are we going with tomorrow, guys? Throwing ideas around the bullpen. What are we going with tomorrow, guys? Come on, what we got? What we got? We got the whole world. Anything in the entire world that's going on. Oh, and remember, guys, remember, we're not talking about the fifth Baron Rothschild and his connections to Ehud Barak and Jeffrey Epstein and Peter Mandelson and George Osborne. We're not talking about that. So that's off the table, yeah? Like every day, yeah? What else we got? Some weird convoluted story about possibly £10 million of dodgy crypto tangentially connected to the Premier League. And Posh Spice's company has ticked up in profits ever so slightly. Good, brilliant, go, boom, that's the front page. Done. Brilliant. We're a newspaper. You're slop, that's what you are. Slop. Laughable. Contemptible. All right, the Financial Times. Calm shatters. Oil jumps after a tax regime. Has it? Not really. These are real-time prices, 11 minutes ago. Sorry, let's refresh. Let's have a little reload. Not really. A little bit. West Texas, just over $87 a barrel. Brent crude, just shy of $92 a barrel. That's jumped a little bit. Saw this all over the mainstream news on Sky News this morning on the actual real telly box, talking about all the prices have jumped. Oil spiked. Why are you lying? What, a tiny bit. A couple of dollars since yesterday. What? Why are you lying about it? It's not straight up lying, is it? There's many shades of being dishonest, aren't there? So it's just short of a full-blown liar. Like Bill Clinton, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Just a couple of mils shy of a full-blown outright liar. Tiniest kernel of truth. Tiny sesame seed style kernel of truth to it. So as it's not a complete liar, we'll go with it. Run, print. Oil jumps after a tax regime. Okay. All right. So we got AI. I don't care. Kemi Badenoch reshuffles her team. Okay, we've done that, haven't we? The Metro. Ugh. Sickening, the Metro. They've decided the most important thing in the world is, well, the Notting Hill Carnival. Look how brilliant it is. Look at these vibrant women. How wonderful they are. Yeah? You've got an out-group preference for brown people, haven't you? You read and buy the Metro, don't you? Well, you don't buy it, it's free. You love brown people. Look, there they are. Look. Yay! Most important story in the world. They're at liberty to report anything within reason. In the whole world, is that this dad did a transplant for his kid. Glad this kid will survive, of course. How is this the most important thing? How is it? Apparently it's a bit of a cutting edge operation where it's part of his liver and is part of his stomach or something. Okay, it's just not national news, is it? The Express, the Daily Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. It's not a good paper, is it, of course? That's an Alan Partridge line. They're really, really subversive globalist slop wearing the skin suit of a nativist or a patriot. I don't care about us. They'll try and destroy people as milquetoast as Tommy or Nigel. That's what the Express are. Globalist. Globalist. If you want your country back, if you even start talking about, even remotely start talking about, not even remigration, don't even have to go that far. That's truly beyond the pale. To the Express. You're an actual Nazi. You're a bigot and a Nazi. Fascist. Extreme right, far right, if you talk about remigration. You don't have to go anywhere near that before they'll try and destroy you. Try and character assassinate you. You could be just someone like Nigel or Richard Tice or Tommy or something. They'll try and destroy you. That's the Express. Trying to pretend that they're on our side, though. That they're patriotic or anything remotely like it. Globalist slop, enemies of the people. That's what the Express is. Sneaky raid sees numbers double in 5 years as threshold remains frozen. Million OAPs, old age pensioners, hit with top rate tax bills. Okay. And Helen Mirren finally looking her age. I mean, don't have a go at me, I'm just saying. She was a very, very attractive woman when she was younger. In like the 1970s. You ever seen the film Caligula? Finally looking her age, Helen Mirren. Okay. Completely woke, Helen Mirren. Well, really badly. A Zionist, isn't she? Not Jewish, but a Zionist. Okay. Or is she Jewish? I don't know. Anyway, who cares? Who cares? More than 1 million pensioners are being hammered by the higher rate of income tax, and the total is set to rise. Wait a minute. Are many OAPs earning loads of money on income? We're talking about income tax. Well, if they're in the higher bracket of income tax, they're making income. Well, so who cares? So that's the rules. What? I mean, I've said a number of times, don't get me wrong, let's be clear on this. I think nearly all tax is state-sponsored theft. So don't get me wrong. I'm not standing for income tax or high rates of income tax. Don't get me wrong. In post-Britain, I would try and reduce the tax burden, reduce spending and tax and taxing. I'd like a small government. So don't get me, let's make that clear. However, as it stands, the reality of Britain and our economy in 2026, as controlled by the freaks that have controlled us for decades. Well, if they're making income and they're in the higher bracket, then they have to pay the higher rate. Bloody boomers, isn't it? Always hard done by. Always hard done by. Not all boomers are selfish freaks, though. Based boomer. The based boomer does exist. Go based boomer. When you find a boomer that is based, they're in a minority, but when you find one, they're usually Uber-based. So I'll stand for them. Unfortunately, they are in a minority, though, aren't they? Most boomers are very, very selfish people, aren't they? Okay. Killer kitchen dust. The eye paper's going with that. Killer kitchen dust. Not our demographic replacement. Nope. Not that we're being invaded. Nope. Not that the number of rapes in this country is insane. Something like 190 a day. A day. Not that there's a pandemic of rape in this country. No, killer kitchen dust. Okay. Victims' loved ones to receive higher compensation. Relatives of workers who died from silicosis caused by inhaling dust while cutting kitchen worktop stone are to receive fairer compensation payouts as new legislation goes to Parliament. Ministers praise the Eye Paper Killer Kitchens campaign for helping to drive reform. Also, the Eye Paper's blowing its own trumpet. Okay. The compensation change would ensure bereaved families of workers who died from asbestos and other workplace dust-related diseases would receive the same funds as sufferers themselves. Disability Minister Stephen Timms hails change to, quote, unfair system, quote, that penalised families. Again, it's not the most important thing in the world, is it? I mean, even close. Killer kitchen dust. Hey, guys, what are we going with tomorrow on the front page? Killer kitchen dust. Done. Print. The Mirror. Holly Willoughby had a porn star on her podcast, apparently. Thanks, Mirror. Well done. Yep, good stuff. Epstein scandal exclusive. Maxwell to beg Trump for freedom. Jailed sex trafficker turns to her old pal, Donald Trump, for help after appeal fails. Yeah, so I think it was her final appeal as well. Because she was sentenced to 20-odd years, wasn't she, for human trafficking. Who to? Don't know. Women, even underage women, were definitely trafficked as a matter of record. Because Ghislaine Maxwell was guilty of it. Who to? Don't know. The weird freak lesbian nana judge in her trial decided it wasn't in the public interest for Ghislaine's trial to go down that route and talk about who all the victims were actually trafficked to. Handpicked Obama judge, by the way. Oh. Well, her final appeal has failed. I think it's the final one. And the only thing that could possibly prevent her from having to serve the next 15 plus years in jail is some sort of presidential pardon from the Donald. So apparently she's, I don't really know how she's begging him, but apparently she's begging him. I doubt she's got a direct line through to the Oval. She's probably just saying it, hoping that word will get to him. He's not going to. He's politically toxic. It'd be politically toxic, wouldn't it, for the Donald to pardon Ghislaine Maxwell. It's her only hope, isn't it? Well, she'll probably serve out her time. She'll probably be out. Unless she somehow finds herself unalive whilst in prison. If that doesn't happen, she's not that old, is she? She in her early 60s, late 50s, early 60s, something like that. She'll probably be out. She probably won't die of old age behind bars. The vast majority of her life left behind bars. Well, according to all accounts, she did behave like a bit of a monster, didn't she? Yeah, hope she rots. Disgusting, disgusting. When she dies, I wonder if Israel will give her a state funeral like her father, and all the heads of the Israeli intelligence services will turn up to her funeral like her father. I wonder if that will happen. We're not supposed to talk about that, are we? No? All right. Moving on then. The Daily Star. Driving in flip-flops is blamed for accidents. Well, you mean foreign people driving in flip-flops? You mean people from the Middle East and Africa? They come over here and wear flip-flops even when it's freezing. Those people. Flipping idiots. No mention that it almost certainly won't be many native Brits that do this. They're saying it's dangerous and loads of accidents are caused because flip-flops aren't ideal footwear for driving. You mean the millions of foreign people that wear flip-flops now in this country? Is that what you mean? But you won't say that. Daily Star. You'll talk about it, but not really. Well done. Moral cowards. All right, they're the front pages. They're the increasingly absurd and infuriating front pages on Fleet Street today. Mad. Mad. All right, let's have a look at our poll. Look at our poll this time of day, didn't we? I asked Harry to ask you guys, actually. Because you guys, to be perfectly honest, you guys usually come up with something quite good. So, anyway, let's have a look. What have we got? I'm reading this for the first time in real time. Would you like to see? Oh, sorry, who would you like to see as leader of the opposition? Oh, all right. And the options were bit of a funny one then, a bit of a silly one. The options were Olukemu Olufantu, Adegoke Badenoch. That's her real name, by the way. That's her real name. Badenoch, and your other option was literally anyone else. And literally anyone else has it to the tune of 88%. Only 12% wanted the Nigerian anchor baby as the leader of the opposition. Get out. Go on, beat it. Hit the bricks, kid. Get out of here. Who needs you? Go on, this isn't the podcast for you. You're in the wrong place if you clicked on Badenoch. Get lost. Jog on. Don't go. Don't go, though. That was a joke. I'm obviously joking. I love you. I love you. We can make this work. Don't go. Please, please. Honestly, don't go. Don't go. Don't go. That was a joke. I'm joking. I just get scared sometimes. All right. Okay. Well, it's funny. It's interesting, isn't it? It's really interesting that the polls and the figures, the numbers, that the Tory party itself is still massively unpopular. Olukemu Badenoch doesn't seem to be insanely unpopular. She polls reasonably well for the leader of a big party. Reasonably well, like 20%, something like that. It doesn't seem to be translating into success at the ballot box, though, which is interesting to note, I think. The Tories have done very, very poorly in all the local elections and by-elections we've had. In the last year, 18 months, 2 years, we've had way more by-elections than usual for all various reasons. Tories, with the exception of Aberdeen and one or two other small examples, Tories have done badly, badly. I mean, been outperformed by Restore, which is still only like, 6 months old, odd. A fledgling party with all sorts of teething problems. The Tory party looks like, hopefully, although Olukemu Badenoch isn't a complete disaster nationwide in terms of popularity, hopefully it seems like the Tory party themselves are still sunk, something like sunk. Good, good. One poll I saw was saying that if there was an election, according to their data, if there was an election tomorrow, Reform might get as much as 270, maybe 280 odd seats. Labour might get 170 odd seats, 200 odd seats. Lib Dems come third, maybe get 75, 80 odd seats, 70, 80 odd seats. And Tories would come fourth with a few less than that. Maybe 70, maybe 75 seats. Imagine that if the Conservative Party was the fourth largest party in Parliament. They deserve it, though. They absolutely deserve it. For that crime they did, that 14 years, Cameron, then the Boris wave, the Rishi debacle, Theresa May, that whole thing. You remember the Liz Truss episode? No shade at Liz Truss, actually. I mean, I don't like her and her policies were stupid, but... where they cooed her out of power right in front of our face to replace it with their WEF pick, Rishi Sunak, the foreign man, the Hindu man. They did that right in front of our faces whilst flooding us with third world barbarians. The crime of that 14 years of Tory rule. And they want to come back. They want to be the government again. The brass neck of it, the cheek of it. They can dare show their faces. How people like Robert Jenrick and Preeti Patel and Suella Braverman and James Cleverly and Olukemi Badenoch, the Nigerian anchor baby, how they can dare show their faces in public, let alone continue to want to be actual politicians. The chutzpah of that. Remarkable, absolutely remarkable. All right, a couple of other stories of note. The Tupac trial. I'm interested in the killing of Tupac Shakur. Always have been. Well, the guy's guilty. Was it Dwayne, Keefe D? Was it Dwayne Davis? Keefe D. He was found guilty. He was in the car that pulled up alongside Tupac's car in Las Vegas in 1996 and shot him to death. He was in the car. And he gave the guns to the people that actually pulled the trigger. He didn't personally pull the trigger, apparently. But it was his idea to go and do it. He brought the guns and he handed the guns to the shooters. And then subsequently has bragged about it for years and years and years all over the place, in a book, on podcasts. In fact, in 2008, he struck some sort of deal with the police. Some sort of deal. Which where he admitted it, but I guess he was giving evidence about other things. Or some sort of deal, the police wouldn't talk about it or expose him because of the deal, a plea bargain or something, I don't know. But then he broke the terms of that deal by talking about it on podcasts and in a book. So then it can now be used against him in a court of law. And it was, and he's been found guilty of murder. Didn't literally pull the trigger, but still guilty of the murder of Tupac Shakur, Keefe D, Dwayne Davis, leader of the Crips. The Southside Compton Crips. The former leader of the Southside Compton Crips. There he is. It's been a mystery for 30 years. Who was behind the killing of Tupac Shakur? This guy. This fat dude, this fat old dude. Probably wasn't, oh, he wasn't old. He was less fat 30 years ago, but nonetheless, yeah. There you go. Mystery solved. All right, there's another story. Oh yeah, here we go. Pakistan deporting millions of Afghans. So you can just deport people. If you've got a government with balls, you can do it. Yeah. They'll find a really, really pale Afghan kid. Oh, she's been deported. Yeah, talking about recently a million odd people deported from Pakistan back to Afghanistan. Because in the last few years, last 20 years plus, loads of people have left Afghanistan, both to Iran and Pakistan. just crossing the border illegally, and Pakistan and Iran have had enough of it, trying to deport them back to where they came from. Yeah, and it's as many as 6 million in the last couple of years. Yeah, you can do it. You can just do it. Pakistan even saying, look, there's people that have been, that we've given, like, a residency to. A proof of registration cards in Pakistan. Now Pakistan's saying, yeah, well, we're rescinding that. Yeah, we're taking that back. You've got to go back to Afghanistan. Because, do you remember, I've talked about it a few times. Once or twice, anyway. There is a war between Afghanistan and Pakistan. Sort of a fairly low burn war. But they exchange fire semi-regularly at the moment. Have been for 6 months or more. Both sides accusing the other side of doing terrorist stuff in each other's countries. Sometimes they fire actual missiles. Well, sometimes Pakistan fires actual missiles into Afghanistan. Anyway, Pakistan decides, even the Pakistanis, don't want Afghanis in their country. So they're deporting them to the tune of between 1 million and 6 million. 6 million Afghanis. There you go. Modi tried to pour scorn on Putin for not ending his war. Putin's really uncomfortable and shuffling around, squirming Putin. Is he? Is he? Barely. Well, whatever. It would be great if that war could come to an end. But it's Ukraine that won't bring it to an end, isn't it? Whenever Zelensky is cornered, rhetorically cornered, painted into a corner, why won't you stop the war? You've lost the Donbass. Why won't you stop it? He falls back on the argument of what's in the Ukrainian Constitution. It's in, like, my oath to be president that I can't allow us to lose any sovereign territory. Well, so that's it then. So it's a forever war. Keefy D murdered Tupac, was behind it. All right. Something about Meghan, don't care. Something about Meghan, don't care. All right. Let's have a look at On This Day in History. Down through the centuries, nay, the millennia. On this day in history, the 1st of September, what happened of note? Let's have a little look-see. What have we got? On this day in 1715, King Louis the 14th, or the Sun King, dies after a reign of 72 years, the longest of any major European monarch. Yeah, it's quite remarkable. Louis the 14th, fascinating person, the Sun King. Became king when he was a little kid. He was like 4 or 5 years old or something. And then he lived to a half-decent old age. Too long, really. There's a classic thing of old king syndrome. We've talked about it before on Epochs. Where you're so old that your own children die before you. Which means it then has to go probably to one of your grandchildren. And they may be a little kid. And then so you then get another minority monarch, which isn't ideal. There'll be a power struggle and all sorts of stuff. Anyway, Louis XIV, the Sun King, something like an absolute monarch. Probably a really cool life. It would have been cool to be if you quantum leap into someone's life. Louis the 14th wouldn't be a bad one. Built Versailles. Massive figure in European history. 17th, 18th century European history. Pivotal figure. Louis the 14th. Not to be confused with Louis the 16th, who's the one who gets his head chopped off, guillotined by the Parisian mob. Not that one. His grandfather. Oh, sorry, great. Grandfather? Was it great-great-grandfather? Because Louis the 15th reigned for ages. Anyway, all right, moving on. On this day in 1878, first female telephone operator starts work. Does she, Emma Nutt, for the Edwin Holmes Telephone Dispatch Company in Boston? Who cares? You're really clutching at straws. The first female telephone operator, Emma Nutt. This isn't history. That's not history. That's some feminist trying to find something of note. Nonsense. All right. On this day in 1905, Wilfrid Laurier oversees Alberta and Saskatchewan joining the Federation of Canada as its 8th and 9th provinces, both separated from the Northwest Territories. That's interesting. A little bit interesting. The history of Canada. That is a bit interesting. It's later than you might think as well. Well, I would have thought 1905. Don't you think that's late? When you would have thought this stuff might have happened. Alberta and Saskatchewan, isn't that in the 18th century? Or at least the 19th century. No, 1905. That's later than I would have thought. Okay, on this day in 1939, World War II begins when Germany invades Poland by attacking the free city of Danzig. The Danzig Corridor. Yes, kicking off World War II. I've said this before. Obviously kicks off World War II as far as Britain is concerned, because we declare war on the back of that. But many historians, you know, zooming out a bit, the history of it is sort of, in various ways, World War II had already started. You could argue, not as far as Britain's concerned, but things going on in the East, China and Japan, other things going on in Europe. Anyway, that's the classic date, 1st of September 1939, isn't it? I was reading a good book, who was it? It was about 6 months ago. Who was it? It's a really good book about, it's a famous historian, I can't remember who it was, about the invasion of Poland, the sort of joint Nazi-Soviet invasion of Poland. How the Nazis went first and the Soviets weren't ready. They're like, oh, you're doing it. The Nazis almost have to wait a little bit, like, have to wait. They're like, I thought we were supposed to be joined up thinking. I thought we were supposed to invade both at the same time, but you just weren't ready. It's one of the things that played into Hitler's thinking that the Soviets are like clown shoes. They're not actually very good at war. That backfired in the end, didn't it? All right, on this day in 1941, Jews living in Germany are required to wear a yellow Star of David. It's a shame. On this day in 1941, US, Australia and New Zealand signed the ANZUS Mutual Defence Treaty. Mildly interesting. 1951, obviously the height of the Cold War, or not even the height of the Cold War. But that connection, I think it's interesting to note, the connection between the US, Australia and New Zealand, and later Britain, like the Five Eyes, you know, sort of the Anglosphere in some way, Canada as well, Canada, the US, Australia, New Zealand, Britain. We are all sort of brothers, cousins at least. We could all sort of work together in the deepest sense, couldn't we? One way or another, or at least try to. Interesting note, I think, 1951, it's as early as that. So even though the Soviets never really, really properly tried to make Oceania and Australasia part of their sphere of influence, the United States still wanted to make sure. Okay, fair enough. And on this day, 1969, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi deposes King Idris in the Libyan Revolution. I'm very interested in the life and adventures of Muammar Gaddafi. I hate the guy. I think he's disgusting. I won't hear of any apologetics on behalf of Gaddafi. Oh, poor Gaddafi was hard pressed by the evil, like, US imperialists, the evil European imperialists. Don't care. Gaddafi was filth. Murderous filth. An idiot. A weirdo freak. A weirdo murderous freak of a man. You don't end your days by being lynched by your own people for nothing. Do you? All right. Let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. Will global church history be in at number one? Will it be a good day? Let's have a look. No. He's been pipped. He's been beat. He was in at 6:57. But some comedians beat him at 6:57, calling themselves global Jewish history. Global Jewish history. Okay. Let's see where this goes. They say, on this day in history, 1967, the three no's were declared in the Arab summit in Khartoum. All right. Yeah. No peace with Israel. No recognition of Israel. No negotiation with Israel. Yeah. Yeah. And the next one is also global church history. $5 a piece. Thanks for that. Says, this was following the Six-Day War, right, yeah, 1967, in which Israel launched a preemptive force on all Arab allied nations. After 6 days of fight, Arab nations sued for peace before vowing recrimination later. Right, yeah. The Six-Day War. I don't know. Global Jewish history. It's not clear to me if you're a Groeper type, not necessarily the biggest fan of Jewishness and Jewish history, or whether you're a super fan of Jewish history. You know, the Six-Day War was like an all-time brilliant victory for them. But then reading it is sort of like saying the three no's, no peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, no negotiation with Israel. Like, Israel launched a preemptive war. That sort of suggests you're not a fan of history, but a Jewish history, but you've picked out something that is like an all-time W for them. No. Anyway, I don't know, Six-Day War, 1967? Yeah? All the Arab nations around Israel were going to attack Israel. I mean, it was a matter of record, they were going to. Israel gets wind of it. They do a preemptive strike first, knocking out the Egyptian Air Force real quick, taking the entire Sinai Peninsula, having a war with Jordan real quick, taking East Jerusalem and the West Bank, essentially. Places like Hebron and Bethlehem, whatever. Then going to war with Lebanon and Syria and taking the Golan Heights. 6 days flat. Sort of a remarkable win for Israel. All right, thanks, Global Jewish History. Global Church History was pipped there, though, this morning. No. All right, but Global Church History has got a couple of factors here for us, though, still. How are you this morning, sir? He says, today in 1449, the Mongols captured Emperor Yingzong of Ming, of the Ming Dynasty, but were unable to make any lasting gains. Okay, I don't know much about that. Unfortunately, medieval Chinese history, or later Mongol, that's much later in the Mongol period, isn't it? Like Genghis Khan first takes Beijing in like, what, like 1215 or something, 1220, something like that. So it's much later, much, much later Mongol Chinese history. I don't know about it in great detail, I'm afraid. You've out history broed me there, bro. Can't really add much to that, I'm sorry. The other one you said is in 1532, Anne Boleyn was made Marquess of Pembroke. And you've also said it's the feast of matriarchs Ruth and Rahab. Rahab? I don't know about that either. I do know about Anne Boleyn, though. On my own history theme show, Bodade's Epochs Behind the Paywall, do consider signing up for as little as £5 a month for a tier membership. Lotuscedia.com. Hundreds of hours, quite literally. No exaggeration. Hundreds of hours of history-themed content of me. Body of work built up over 5 years. Got a long series all about Henry VIII. Only did earlier this year as well. Where, of course, I talk all about Anne Boleyn. The Lady Anne. The 1530s. Yeah, a fair few episodes. I can't remember how many it is. Four, five, maybe six episodes of Henry VIII. I can't remember how many. It's a small-ish audiobook level of detail. Talk all about Anne Boleyn there if you're interested in that. Okay, the next one, Global Jewish History again, says has continued from before. It's exactly the same thing, is it? You said exactly the same thing again about no peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, no negotiation with Israel. Is it exactly the same thing? Looks like exactly the same thing. All right, thanks for the other fiver. Oh, there's quite a few rumble rants here. Loads of them from St. Luke 91, Luke Street, Luke Stewart. Loads of them from him. Okay. I'll read through them. You say, good day, hope everyone's been good. Oh, yeah, I said, good day, mate. Oh, yeah, how good. Making friends can be hard, especially when you're surrounded by a lot of lefties who get really butthurt when you say anything that isn't their opinion. That's true. He said that's part one. Part two says, it's really hard not being abrasive. You just get to the point, just like, F it, people. I want to speak my mind like you can. Thank you both for being like-minded enough that you don't get upset. Yeah, no, I mean, I know that you're surrounded by lefties. They're talking lefty nonsense. You have to just bite your lip and not say anything. Because if you say anything, they'll just get all annoyed and hurt and ostracise you. Find some right-leaning friends. I mean, I know it's easier said than done. Just find some right-leaning friends. I know it's easier said than done. Okay. Next one's also Luke Stewart. It says, on a side tangent, been watching what's been happening with Canada-US now that Canada's had a bunch of by-elections with the with the Liberals won, $10 Canadian will now agreed to the deal that they said no to. I'm not sure exactly what you're saying. $10 Canadian will now agreed to the deal that they said no to. I'm sorry, I don't get exactly what you mean, what you're saying there. But the US-Canadian stuff is interesting, their relationship. I think Donald did want to, or did he rename Lake Ontario to Lake America? Did he actually do it? I thought I saw a headline where it said he actually did it. Like, he actually signed in the Oval Office a thing saying that's what it's called now. Is that right? I got that wrong. I've got the wrong end of the stick there. It happens sometimes. Okay. Fallen Firebird says, Luke Stewart is absolutely right. It's a quirk of our particular right-wing niche that we often have hobbies that are swarming with lefties. I tried a writing club last year and it's 90% caricature leftists. Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah. A lot of writing, a lot of the arts, a lot of theatre and writing is massively dominated by leftoids. Yeah. Yeah. I've written a novel or two in the past, tried to get them published, and it's like, and they'd be like about based things, about white based things. And they're just like, no thanks. No. Please. We need you to write a story about a brown person in Auschwitz or whatever. Some ridiculous thing. Wearing the striped pyjamas and making Jamaican. That's what we want to publish. Well, you're not a woman. No thanks then. Yeah. Yeah, shame, isn't it? Okay. The next few are all Luke, like the next six or so are all Luke Stewart again. So I'll whip through them a bit if you don't mind. Okay, you say, probably because mums just kill their kids, dads try and save theirs, I suppose you meant. Is that to do with the trial, that trial of that woman in America, Lucy something or other? I've almost deliberately stayed away from that story. I'm not interested. I get the picture. She's accused of killing her own kids in like a really, really, really horrible, horrific way. I get it. I sort of don't want to get into the weeds and the details of that story and all the ins and outs of who's reacting to it and who isn't. It's like I deliberately don't want to see snuff footage. I'm not going out and searching the latest bit of footage where someone actually gets killed in the street. I don't want to see it. It hurts my psyche. I don't need to. I've seen enough. Same with this story of this woman, Lucy, whatever her name is. That's me. I get it. I understand. I'm aware of it now. I'm aware of it. I don't need to hear the details of what actually went on. Anyway. All right. Luke again says, that silicon dust is like the new asbestos dust. Didn't realise people were inhaling it and it causes cancer. Another effing horrible S. We've got something similar like this happening in Australia. Yeah, it would be really bad. It is really bad. The only point I was making is that there's more important news than that. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Really bad. Yeah, if you got it, that'd be horrible. That would be horrible. Luke again says, I don't know how many people can't drive with thongs. I find it much better. Oh, thongs. Sandals. I thought you were talking about the type of ladies' underwear thong. The thong. Ooh, that dress was scandalous. And you look. Don't sing, Bo. Don't sing. Don't sing the thong song. Don't do it. All night long. No, I won't sing it. I won't sing it. All right. You're talking about the sandals. I think Aussies sometimes call sandals thongs. Right. I find it much better to drive barefoot or with thongs than it is to drive with work boots or any kind of shoe with a solid sole and I can't feel the pedals. Oh, well, fair enough. I think the problem with sandals is that it's possible, isn't it, to get it hooked under the pedal or in some way. I totally get the idea that you've got more feel with a thinner sole on. You could get it hooked in some way. All right, Luke again says, I wish we had more leaders like Bukele. Yeah, me too. They go to hell of it. They go to hell of it. We're dealing with this problem. I still love watching people complain about the prisoners, but hey, it's safe now. Yeah, yeah, Bukele's great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He took on his own sort of leftoid, leftist establishment, and to some extent, the world's leftist media, and says, I don't care. I don't care. I'm cleaning up this country. I'm getting tough on crime and the causes of crime. Do you know what they did? Stuff like, they just set up a roadblock somewhere leading into a big city. They stop everyone. And if you've got a gang tattoo, that's it. You haven't done anything. You haven't. There's no evidence you've done anything wrong, but you've got a gang tattoo, you're in prison. You're in prison now. And then you might be effectively on remand for a while, a long time, before they find out if you are or aren't actually a gang member. And even if you even are a gang member and you haven't actually, there's no evidence you've done, been a part of an actual crime, but you are a, sort of definitely a gang member, you're in prison now. You're in prison for good. Not for good, not a life sentence, but... Yeah, he cleaned up that country. He didn't care what the socialists and leftists, subversives, said. And the bloody New York Times can go a bit berserk. The Guardian can go a bit berserk about it. Let them. Let them. Yeah, I like Bukele. I like him. I like the cut of his jib. Not taking any nonsense. Done with that. Our people are getting murdered. Murdered and raped. Our innocent people getting murdered and raped and intimidated every day. Yeah, I'm going to stop it. Yeah, I'm going to stop it. I'm not going to listen to the likes of the globalist media and the leftoids in my own country. Brilliant. Good on him. Brilliant. Right. Luke again says, can't still forget Boris Johnson for also keeping us forever all going at... For also keeping us forever all going at the start, we may have had the Ukraine in NATO or something. Right, yeah, I mean, what Boris did to scupper the peace deal near the beginning of the Russia-Ukraine war. Yeah, unforgivable. Absolutely mad. What does Boris Johnson care? Does he just want a million and a half Ukrainian men to be killed? And God knows how many more maimed. A few hundred thousand Russians killed. The whole region destabilised. Is that what he wants? They were close to a peace there. Boris Johnson. Disgusting freak. All right, and the last one, Luke again says, sorry, meant to say $10 on Canada, now coming back to agree with the deal that said no to originally, which then led to Trump changing the name of the lake. Oh, you're saying you're just putting $10 as a bet on? Like, I'll put $10 on that. I bet that happens. 10 quid says this or that happens. You're saying that Canada will now come back to the table and do a deal with Trump after he changed the name of Lake Ontario. Maybe. Is that what you're saying? I think that's what you're saying. Maybe. Maybe. Who knows? We'll see. We'll see. Watch this space. The ball is largely in Canada's court, isn't it, really? The United States can continue without Canada reasonably okay. Canada needs the United States much more, doesn't it? Economically. It just does. It's the biggest market for them, isn't it? Obviously. All right. Let's have a look at the YouTube ones. That's the last Rumble rant. Let's look at the YouTube ones today. Harry, you need to bring that for me. If you don't mind, please make it so and engage. There it is. All right. It's a bit more like it. We've got a dozen or 20 odd here. Yesterday we only had a few. Don't know what that was. The figures were right. The numbers were right. We had 10,000 watching. One time. By the end of the stream, there's about 10,000 people had clicked on it at one point or other. Which reminds me, do hit the thumbs up on this. Don't say that enough. I need to say that more. I need to start saying that more. Hit the thumbs up on this stream. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Get the bell on. Whack ye olde bell on. Don't cost you anything, that. All right, let's have a look at the super chats. We've got possible pilot deviation, 5791 says, it's 1 a.m. in Utah. Oh, you're calling from Utah? I've been to Utah. I went to the Salt Flats once in the mid-90s when I was a teenager. And I'm just now going to bed. Have a great day, Bo, and the rest of the chosen few, the glorious band. Thank you, sir. Possible pilot deviation. Have a good sleep. Night-night, Shazza. Night-night. Sleep well. Hope the bed bugs don't bite. Okay, CG Ma'am says, Firas covered India only to mock it and say China is better. I know CG Ma'am really cares about India stuff. Rightly too, yeah. Okay, you're saying Firas only covered India to mock it and say China is better. Okay. Nothing on its role in UK auto, steel, batteries and pharma, where they control 50% of our suppliers, or India as the largest private employer. Bo, cover this instead. Oh, well, at some point then, I guess I will talk about it a bit. Next time it's like, okay, next time it's in the news, something about Tata Steel or something, I'll do a good 5 minutes, solid 5-10 minutes on it for you. Because you're right to bring attention to it, absolutely. So Fresh did cover it, but not like how you would like him to, not like really doing it any justice. Well, sorry to hear that. I'll have a word with Mr. Modad. What are you playing at, sir? No, he can. His content is up to him, isn't it? What he wants to do, whatever he wants to do. Let's just say, next time it comes up in the news, sort of organically, I'll do 5-10 minutes on it for you. I will. All right. MQSSS says, what a bonny blue suit you're wearing today. Yeah, I'm blue. I live in a house with blue windows. I'm blue today. All blue. Bonny blue suit. Ooh. She had a kid, didn't she? Saw that turn up on my timeline. Poor kid. What's your mum's job? What did your mum used to do? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Talk about something else. Anime Chud Party. That's their name. They've called themselves at Anime Chud Party. They've said, unfortunately, a lot of news outlets are just slop. Yeah, mostly. Legacy corporate lamestream media is a truly subversive, pretty evil thing. And yet it does dominate the discourse. There's still millions upon millions upon millions of normies who rely upon it for their view of reality. Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. That's why it's important. That's why this show exists. Otherwise, you can't just step over it. You can't just ignore it. Because the majority of people still don't. So therefore it matters, unfortunately. All we can do, people like us, is highlight the absurdities. It is still of importance in that sense. Dying, though, isn't it? Dying, though. The old school legacy news outlets. Dying on their ass, really. In various ways. Alternative media is the future. Fairly obviously. All right. Uber-based boomer just says, ha! Huh. Oh, well, I talked about based boomers. I had a little pop at boomers, didn't I? But did a little stand for the based boomer. Based boomer. Go based boomers. Usually, when you find a proper based boomer, they've dialed it up to 11. They don't care. They've lived their life. They don't care anymore. You can't cancel them. They're already retired or whatever. They've got their nest egg. They finished their mortgage. You can't cancel them. Go based boomers. Okay. It's just a shame they are in the minority. Okay. Emily for Restore says, B, please give a shout out to the Save Europe Act petition. Yeah, Mr. H Reviews, Nate's like the national, Nate of State of Politics, State of Politics, is the national organiser for that. Yeah, Save Europe Act. Yeah, sign the petition. Go on, find it, Google it, find it. It's a petition thing. Do it now. Emily Forrestore says, we need to get 1 million signatures. Your bud Nate is head of the Brit chapter. Yeah, right. Sorry. Should have read that before I went off on one. Yeah. Sort of, it's not party politics. For those people that say, I want to do stuff, like these elite theorist types, they say, not interested in the ballot box, but there is still loads of stuff you could do. Isn't this one of the things you could do? It's not party politics. It is political, but it's not party politics. It's something that's supposed to be above that. Something that's supposed to transcend party politics, electoral politics. No one's running for office here. The Save Europe Act. It's political, of course, though, still. Trying to put pressure on the European Union. The Save Europe Act. Yes, please do sign the petition. It's a worthy thing when you look into it, what it is. Trying to put pressure on the European Union to, like, stop flooding Europe with millions and millions of third world beast men. Okay. Next one is also Emily for Restore. Remigration is okay for everyone else, save Europe. Yeah, Pakistan do it. We had they're deporting millions of Afghans. Yeah. All throughout history, all over the place, there's been forced mass remigrations of people. All over the place, even in modern times. The idea that you just can't. Nonsense. You just need a government with the will, the level of power enough to get it done, and the will to do it. I say that's all it requires. That's a really big ask, isn't it? But the idea that it just can't be done. Nonsense. Nonsense. You can't do it. You must just have your demographic forever ruined because of Tony Blair and Boris Johnson. No, 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 no. No. We can reverse it. Okay. James Lee Pevenhole says, 1775, Richard Penn and Arthur Lee of the colonies hand petition to Earl of Dartmouth for report with Great Britain. A rapport with Great Britain? King George III refused it blank. Oh, okay, this is the United States, the War of Independence. Right. Yeah. King George III. King George III was one of the last people to accept the 13 colonies, what became the United States of America, had broken away and that they were going to break away. He was in denial throughout the whole process that it was happening in the first place. And then when it had happened, it was a fait accompli. Just in denial, massively. He was genuinely, genuinely hurt and butthurt for the rest of his life. George III. Okay, Cohen 226 says, Carl Benjamin... I can't read that. You've paid $19.99, but I can't really read that. Yeah, just for T's and C's. This is reasonably funny what you've put. I won't deny that. But this show's supposed to be... I can't say anything... I can't say swear words, and I can't say anything that's too blue. And, of course, there's T's and C's. If it's too really, like, genuinely racist or bigoted, I can't get the channel yeeted or arrested. So there's a certain things I can't say. Help me out here, guys. And it's not just me, because I'm a coward. It's because the channel will get yeeted. If we go down the pub, IRL, I'll say these things. I'll talk much more freely. But whilst it's on the internet, and this show is supposed to be clean, relatively clean. So sorry, Cohen 226, I'm not going to read that out. But it is reasonably funny what you've put. If anyone is wondering, it's just a bit blue. It's not ultra racist or anything, or it's a bit blue. Okay, Kiefer Brown 1337 says, Keefy D was pacifist before singing with Eamon Records. Eamon Holmes turned Dwayne Davis Keefy D into a killer. Are you suggesting there, Kiefer Brown? Eamon Holmes to blame, ultimately, for Tupac Shakur's killing. Only joking, get well soon, Ames. If there's anyone, I can't believe there's many people watching The Bo Show don't know this, but it's an in-joke. I once accidentally confused Eamon Holmes with Hugh Edwards, accusing Eamon Holmes of the crimes of Hugh Edwards. Just got it wrong. It's just my brain's thinking Hugh Edwards. My mouth's just saying Eamon Holmes. Just completely wrong. The worst blooper on this show in 8 months, 9 months. Totally wrong. Terrible. It's now an in-joke that people accuse Eamon Holmes of all sorts of things he obviously didn't do. But Eamon Holmes is very ill at the moment. Get well soon, Ames. All joking aside, in all honesty, get well soon, mate, if you can. Okay, Luke Stewart, the same St. Luke Street 91. Luke Stewart over here on YouTube says, probably reason why oil hasn't jumped a hell of a lot is probably due to Alberta Premier apparently is making a deal with the US and Venezuela made a deal, but I could be wrong. That's my opinion. That's interesting. The United States on its own, all on its own, is a net exporter of crude oil. West Texas. The amount of fracking, the fracking industry in the United States now is gigantic. And they took over Venezuela, or some sort of vassal state in some way, haven't they? It's not just the United States, is it? The rest of the world relied on not just crude, but also natural gas, light natural gas, and other things, fertilizers and things that came from inside the Persian Gulf and out through the Straits of Hormuz. But what you've said there may well be a part of it. Well, it will be all part of the broader, bigger picture. So there you go. Okay, yeah. Canada, outside of, like, Arabia, outside that part of the world, the Persian Gulf region, Canada is one of the places, along with the United States, got the most natural reserves of oil. Canada, yeah. Okay, Callum29D says, the true essence of leftism is self-interest. Yes, that's true. That's true. That was my Kramer impression. The true essence of leftism is self-interest. On contact with reality, they'll retreat. It's important we don't protect them. Traitors become cowards. Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's true. Couldn't disagree with anything you've said there. Yeah. Most leftists, when it comes down to it, or scratch the surface even, are moral cowards. Physical and moral cowards. Yeah. Yeah. Stu Sutton, 1977. Sometimes Stu's first in. Sometimes. Not today, though. Cheers, though, for all the super chats, Stu. Stu Sutton, 1977, says, Tupac was a fraud. E. Homie Holmes is a true gangster. Yeah, Tupac was a fraud. He was basically a theatre kid, wasn't he? He made out like he's some rock-hard gangster. He's a theatre kid. Some suggest he might have been a homosexualist as well. Although, he was convicted of sex crime against a woman, though, also. Oh, yeah, Tupac was a convicted sex criminal. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A gang rape. That's what we're talking about, yeah. It was two of them. I think two of them in a hotel room with a girl who said they raped her and he was convicted of it. Loads and loads of incidents of getting into fights and theft and gun-related crime. Loads, loads. How he wasn't in prison. He was only 25 when he died, Tupac. He made out like he was a proper gangster. Not really. He was a theatre kid who then LARPed as a gangster. One time, some gunplay was going off, some bullets went off, a stray bullet accidentally hit a little kid and killed it. And he had to settle out of court. Because the family took him on some sort of civil case for it. And he paid loads and loads of money for that. Responsible for killing a little kid. And a sexual assault. A serious sexual assault. Tupac Shakur, that's who he was. A complete scumbag. An absolute scumbag. And ultimately a fraud. He got thug life tattooed across his stomach. You're a theatre kid, mate. You're quite a camp theatre kid. Thug life, yeah, right, yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Sure. Tatum2733 says, laugh all you want, Bo, but when I rule the world, my Praetorians shall see you and glue the bleach blonde wig on and you'll still do the show next day. He made a joke yesterday, didn't he, Tatum, that when he's ruler of the world, I will have a head of hair, one way or another. See, the joke's on you. This is a bald cap. I've already got a full head of hair. Under this, there is a blonde afro. A bushy, bushy blonde hairdo under this bald cap. So, all I need to do to fulfil your wildest dreams is just whip off this bald cap. Okay. Jig Jag Jug XYZ, that's what they've called themselves, says, Bonnie Blue, she needed the money. Dice Clay. So I know Dice Clay, the old 80s comedian, right? Oh, bada boom, bada bing. That guy, like, Dice Clay. Did he do a joke? Bonnie Blue, she needed the money. Oh, God, I can't remember much of Dice Clay's stand-up now. Little Miss Muffet sat on the tuffet. Anyone who knows, you've never heard of Dice Clay, I take it, Little Harry.
No.
Okay, you'd have to be. It was reasonably funny. It's the same jokes over and over again, but it was reasonably funny. I guess that was a bit, she needed the money. Bunny Blue. She needed the money. Oh! I'll stop doing it now. People who don't know Dice Clay, they're not getting it. I'll move on. Okay, oh, it's the last one here. Last one here. Boycott China? Boycott China. Sorry. Went to one word. I do struggle to read it sometimes. Boycott China 5400 says, Christ is the rock the West rests upon. Well, since the first century, the West, European, Western history and culture is much older than the first century AD, though, isn't it? So it's much older than the Augustan age. Christ is supposed to have been born during the age of Augustus and died during the age of Tiberius. Of course, there's lots and lots of history and culture that predates that. Okay, here we are. It's now 36 minutes past 9 in the AM, British summertime, on Tuesday, the 1st of September in the year of our Lord, 2026, Pinch Punch First of the Month. Thank you for joining me. Without you guys, it isn't a thing. We appreciate that. Thank you for joining me, the glorious band, the chosen few. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. You know, Carpe Diem, seize the day if you can. I know it's not always possible when you've got a proper adult life with loads and loads of responsibilities you've got to do, but if you can, if you're at liberty to spend the time however you want today, try and do something valuable with it. I don't want to get too preachy, but try and do something valuable with it, because it's the most valuable thing, the most precious thing you have by orders of magnitude is your time. Far more precious than any gold or silver or cars or houses you might ever own. You can't take that with you. Try and make the best of your time. It's in your interest. All right. Until tomorrow morning then. Take care.